This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% on select styles. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, everyone. Do you wish you were somewhere sunny, but are dealing with another crazy spring? There's a solution to get that feeling. I'm grabbing a Hawaiian Breeze 5-Hour Energy and escaping there in my mind. Sports fans, ever stay up late for the game and drag the next day? A 5-Hour Energy shot will fix that no problem. 5-Hour Energy's website has tons of flavors, over 15 to choose from. Watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, and even hard-to-find ones like strawberry lemonade and extra strength fan fuel. There's a flavor for everyone. You can even build your own 12 or 24 pack and have it delivered. Or grab a shot at your local store. They're everywhere. And it's basketball season. My schedule is packed, and I don't want to miss a second, so I grab a 5-Hour Energy shot. They're perfect for back-to-back games or when my team plays late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going through the game and the next morning. Visit 5hourenergy.com for deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Your station for the best Ravens coverage.
Bringing the team to the fans.
It's news from the nest.
We're grateful for our media. We really are, most of the time.
With Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
Sponsored by Window Nation. Right now from Window Nation, buy two windows, get two free, and pay nothing until 2027. Offer ending soon. Schedule your free estimate at 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
Vinny, we're a week into the new league year, and Ravens not making big, big moves, but still active nonetheless, and some additions from the outside. Cooper Rush, they gave him a 2-year deal to be the new backup quarterback. You brought in DeAndre Hopkins on a 1-year, $5 million deal. You brought in Jake Hummel as a special teams ace on a 1-year deal, and then retaining some of your own, where that's more of the Ravens' typical business during free agency. Tylan Wallace is back. Patrick Ricard's back. Ben Cleveland, and of course, Ronnie Stanley headlining that list.
So, yeah, every move is extremely impactful, and every move kind of points to, we know we got a hell of a team. You know, this is, we're going for it.
Well, and I think Eric really did a good job in messaging that at the season-ending press conference, where his quote was pretty much, I don't have a lot of big decisions to make in terms of impending free agents, because it seems like every single year, Vinny, especially going back to last year where they have 20-plus free agents, all the coaches left, where this year it's a lot more status quo.
All right, in your opinion, what do you think they got to do with Derrick Henry?
I'd be fine tacking on a year or two. If you wanted to sweeten the pot with him,
well, you
could lower the cap hit this year, which is around $12 million. He's a freak, and we know that running backs, it can end at any time once you're past age 30, but we just saw that guy run for 1,900 yards last year, Vinny.
even if he air quotes regresses this year and runs for 1,500 yards, it's still a hell of a season.
Yeah, I think you gotta, you know, because of what Philly did with Barkley and giving him 20 mil, and he's making what, like 7.5?
Yep.
You gotta pay him like, he's gotta get like 15 mil, you know, and he deserves it.
Oh my God.
And, you know, keep him happy. Keep him happy because a year from now, gotta do Lamar again.
Yes. Yeah, because Lamar's got a $74.5 million cap hit going his way, and we've already seen the Ravens tinker with some contracts. Marlon Humphrey had that full restructure that gave them a good amount of cap space. Maybe they do the same with Nnamdi Matabike, Roquan Smith, or other options to create cap space. But for me, Vinny, this offense is ready to go. Yeah. If you want to get some depth, sure. Is left guard maybe a question mark for some? Possibly, but I'm more than cool with this offense.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. Because really when you look at it, Tim, is like they can go for it this year because what changes after this year? You got a lot of dudes. Contracts are up. You got all your tight ends. Contracts are up.
The whole room.
Falele. You know, you got a lot of Linderbaum, Hamilton. You may not be able to have the band back together again. That's why this year is the year to whatever we got to do, let's go. And that seems like they're doing. Hey, we got three tight ends that are all free agents.
Yeah.
So what? You know, we got this, we got that. Now we got a veteran quarterback. You know, we are, whatever it takes, we're doing it.
Now the defensive side of the ball, that still needs some work. And they had the same exact defensive line group from 23 and 24. It's not going to be the same next year. Michael Pierce retired. Brent Urban still a free agent. You got Broderick Washington, Travis Jones, Nnamdi Matabike all under contract. Everyone's talking up this defensive tackle, this defensive line draft class. I would expect them to use a day one, day two pick on a D lineman.
Yeah, I think day one, I think, Tim, I think it's safety or O-line. That's my guess.
Yeah.
Day two, yeah, when you get there at day two, best player available of position of need, you know, like you said, is it a D lineman? Is it an O, you know, we won't, you know, it's hard for us to know right now what it'll be, but they'll get some quad. They got 11 picks.
Yeah.
I think they'll use them all. Because, all right, three or four not going to make it. You know, hopefully, you know, and maybe a couple of them are on the practice squad and I'm developing these guys. But when I have 11 picks, Tim, you just play the analytical game. My chances of hitting, you know, on six of them is better with 11 picks than with
you got more six swings.
Yes.
You got more swings.
And although the swings are later, you know, I've got Eric has got to be on target with picks 1, 2, and 3 because they got to have to help.
Edge, and you're breaking down a couple of edge guys. Mikel Williams is next up at 130. How big of a need do you see at edge for the Ravens?
Oh, I think it's big because they have no depth. You know, and I think, you know, because Ajabo has been nothing.
And I'm sure you'd agree with me here, Vinny. Ajabo is not guaranteed to make this team for me.
Nope.
He's got to earn his way on this 53-man roster.
I've said that. Been saying that all the last few weeks. Is he's got to make the 53. You know, and Adisa Isaac has got to show he's got to be in shape and do, you know, because last year was kind of a red shirt year for him. So he's got to step up. The thing that he does is he can play the run some. Plays hard. He doesn't have that explosive speed and stuff. But they need another guy because always up after this year. Van Noy's up after this year. So yeah. So we go back to, you know, there's a lot of guys up.
And then we're just working our way down the levels of the defense. Inside linebacker alongside Roquan Smith. Maybe Trent Simpson ends up being the guy, but again, for me, he's got to earn that spot. There's got to be a legit competition with Trent Simpson for that linebacker spot.
Yeah, and the other thing, Tim, is you know, with Roquan being you know, the leader of that defensive football team, coming in fabulous shape.
Yeah.
You know, leave no ifs, ands, or buts. And if I'm him, I'm probably a little disappointed in the way, you know, I had similar number of tackles, but I didn't play
as
similar,
impactful.
No doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. And you know, so he needs to step up that game a little bit.
Well, the thing about it this way, we're doing pregame every single week. He was a step too slow, but when
his pass defense was really bad.
Yeah. But when the defense started to turn it around in that first Steelers game, Roquan was all over the field. He got hurt, and then his play picked up as the year went on, and coincidentally enough, the defense picked up.
And Hamilton was in the back end, and Simpson was
off. Darius Washington.
Yeah. So, yeah, there was a combination of a few moves that when they put it together, it worked. And Dean Pease being there, too. And I think the thing that, you know, kind of why Chuck Pagano's back, too, is you know, what did, you know, Harbs was talking about Dean Pease, and he says, you know, the thing we forgot was when we didn't, prior to Dean Pease being there, all the coaches and stuff in the room, nobody really knew why we do things or how, you know, the intricacies of the defense. And then when we brought Dean back, it's like, it's this little technique right here. It's it. This is why we do it. This is why you got to do this. And so you're able to explain to everybody the ins and outs of the whys. Because players, they want, why? Why? Why should I do that? You know, show me how that's better. You know, and then with Chuck Pagano coming in, he was here when they started running that defense. So that is the continuity of, you know, the defense.
Yeah, he was on Harb's first staff going back to 2008. We're going to get back into the O's and MLB. Bottom of the hour, Mike Axiza, who covers the MLB for CBS Sports, joins us. But coming up next, it is buy or sell on The Fan.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or are you selling?
I'm not gonna buy into that crap.
Benny and Haney.
Sponsored by Window Nation. Right now from Window Nation, buy two windows, get two free, and pay nothing until 2027. Offer ending soon. Schedule your free estimate at 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
1057. The Fan.
Tim Barbalace in for the Bobster. Before we get to Nolan, how's the market looking?
Yeah, we're making some money today, Tim. The Dow is up 288. The S&P's up 42. NASDAQ is up 178. DraftKings up $1.31 on the road to recovery at 38.25. Under Armour down 3 cents to $6.20.
Has DraftKings been down big?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Has that been recent?
Recently, it's been down, yeah.
I would think with March Madness, it should...
It was like 40-some, like 44, 45, but it's been, the whole market's been kind of topsy-turvy, you know, with tariffs and everything else.
Yeah.
It's put the tariffs on DraftKings. It's terrible. All right, we'll start our sports topics here in the NBA, actually. The playoffs are creeping closer. At this point, seems like there's a clear-cut group of three teams who have separated themselves from the pack as truly elite. Talking about Boston, Oklahoma City, and Cleveland. Now, they may generate the most bets to win it all this summer, but Are they the only real contenders? CBS Sports' Bill Ryder has put together kind of a current tier rankings for all of the playoff teams. And behind that elite three, he has the Nuggets, mainly because of the Jokic factor, and the trade-rejuvenated Lakers and Warriors, who carry a lot of experience in their roster. To drop off from there, in his opinion, when you go to the Knicks, Grizzlies, and others, but are you buying or selling that there are six or less real title contenders right now, Tim?
Oh, I'm going to buy that. I think if you're asking me to pick one of the three or the field, I mean, Cavs, Celtics, Thunder, I think that would be a good bet to place. But if you want to throw in the Nuggets, like you're saying, because of Jokic and the Lakers, I know LeBron's still beat up, but they got a massive shot in the arm after that shocking trade. But I'm definitely buying the six teams for sure.
All right, moving over to the NFL, the whirlwind portion of free agency has passed. Teams have started to take shape for next season. So how does the AFC stack up right now? More rankings, this time from Jordan DeJani, who has ranked the AFC teams, the usual suspects in the top three, Kansas City, Buffalo, then Baltimore. But coming in at number four, he's got the Denver Broncos. Their notable additions so far this offseason, Evan Ingram at tight end, Dre Greenlaw at linebacker. He's got them ahead of the likes of Cincinnati, Houston, LA, the Chargers there, in that AFC hierarchy right now. But are you buying or selling that as reality at this point in the offseason, Vinny?
No, I'll buy it right now. Still early. We'll see what they do in a draft. I do like what Buffalo's done because I think Buffalo realized what? What did we always talk about Buffalo? They got little defensive linemen and stuff, you know, and they're not physical. You can run it on them. And they went and got Bosa. They got, you know, another defensive tackle, you know. So I think they've improved themselves.
Well, spring training is usually all about roster competition, but for a team like the Orioles, most of the roster pretty much set in stone. However, a player like Vimael Machin really made a strong case for himself this spring to try to earn a spot on the 40-man roster, or the opening day roster at that, batting over 400 with 9 RBIs so far in 20 spring games. But when you look at this O's infield depth, who can you reasonably place him over? It's not many. The Gunner injury made things interesting, but when Jorge Mateo returned to the lineup, that made it even more crowded. Buy or sell, Machin won't make the opening day roster, but will make an appearance in the majors before the season is done.
Ooh. Before the season is done. You're saying on the Orioles?
Yeah, with Baltimore.
I'm going to sell that. I don't believe that will happen. And I think, look, the Mateo news is great. He's been in a couple of spring training games at this point. Gunner's getting ramped up. I'm still, you wonder if he's going to be ready for opening day, but it won't take him that much longer after that. I just think there's so many options. And with the Machin, the Orioles, the beat reporters, they always joke about the Jake Fox Award, the guy that went nuts forever ago during spring training and fizzled out. I'm not saying that Machin's destined for that, but you always got to take spring training with a grain of salt.
But back to the NFL, the Commanders made a few splash trades earlier this offseason, including the acquisition of Laremy Tunsil. Now, he's been regarded as one of the best at his position for most of his career, but in 2024, the penalties, a very glaring weakness. He had 19 on the season, a large chunk of those coming in the first 4 weeks of the schedule, also the most he's ever had in a single season since 2019. Since then, between 19 and last year, he's usually in that 7 to 11 range. Pretty durable, pretty reliable there on the left side of the line. But buy or sell, Vinny, Tunsil will get back to his usual self with the penalties next season.
I'm going to buy it, and just for the reason being is Jaden Daniels is extremely elusive. So he's not going to get the sacks, you know, that C.J. Stroud had because he doesn't have the mobility that Jaden Daniels has. You know, so like we always talk about Ronnie Stanley did such a great job, and a lot of that credit Lamar. And I think Tunsil is going to be much better this year because of Jaden Daniels.
And our last topic here in the NBA, it's kind of a funny one. I can't even believe I'm talking about this, but the Mavericks, their disaster season, it's been so historically bad that they might make the most unfortunate history possible in the coming weeks. Long story short here, they've been decimated by injuries, actually played a few games recently with the minimum requirement of 8 players active. However, a couple of those players that have been active have been two-way players. You're nearing the maximum games allowed threshold for them, so they either have to be converted to full-time contracts or dismissed. They don't have the room under the luxury tax to make them full-time contracts. Needless to say, they're running out of bodies here. If a team can't have eight healthy players active for a game, they are forced to forfeit under NBA rules. Buy or sell, Tim, that will become a reality for one game before the season is done.
Gosh, I guess I'll sell. That would just be so ridiculous. I saw that Anthony Davis, he's getting tuned up with their G League team. But if you're the Mavs, and I know they're still the 10th seed, they could make the play-in tournament, but are you looking long game with Anthony Davis at this point after just torpedoing since that injury? And yeah, you got a good three quarters out of him before he ended up getting hurt. But yeah, a bizarre situation in Dallas, to say the least. Coming up next, we're going to get back into baseball. Mike Agziza, he covers MLB for CBS Sports. We'll get his impressions of the Orioles. Steve Molesky said that he's got some concerns about their starting rotation, back end of the bullpen. Does Mike still have those same concerns? And what the heck is going on with Rafael Devers in Boston? We'll get Mike's thoughts on that as well. It's Vinny and Haney on The Fan. To talk O's and MLB, Mike Agziza joins us, who covers MLB for CBS Sports. And Mike, let's just start here locally. What is your impression of the O's dealing with some injuries heading into the season opener?
Yeah, the entire AL East, it seems, is dealing with injuries. Yeah. The Yankees lost Gerrit Cole, obviously, and a bunch of other guys as well. The Red Sox they've lost like their number three, four, five, or really their four, five, and six starters. So the Orioles aren't alone there. I don't really love their rotation depth behind the guys they had. You know, ideally it's Suarez and Cade Povich are kind of like your six and seven, and now one of them is going to be in the rotation. That's not great, because Grayson Rodriguez is an elbow issue, and he's had some issues in the past, and that's always a little worrisome. But there's been so much injuries in the division that everybody's just kind of like in the same boat as they were a few weeks ago. They're just going to wind up winning maybe fewer games this season. So other than the Cole injury, I don't see anything that's like completely changed the outlook of the division, I don't think.
Hey, Mike, what are you expecting from Paul Skene this year?
Well, he's going to be great. He's going to be one of the best pitchers in the game, I think. And I think really he got a good innings base underneath him last year. I thought the Pirates did a great job last year just getting him. They built him up slowly in the minors. And there was a lot of complaining like, oh, he should obviously be in the majors right now. And I think, yeah, that was correct. He could have been up earlier, but they did such a good job managing his workload. They put him in such a good position physically last year that he's really good shape to go this year. They're not going to let him throw 220 innings, but, he's not going to be capped at like 110 either. It's electric stuff. And he added a cutter this spring. He added like a sinking two-seam fastball. There's reason to believe he's going to be even better, even if he's not going to put up a sub-2 ERA again. Nobody's going to pitch to a 1 ERA over a full season, but, he's one of the best pitchers in baseball, and I think if you look him up in a few months and he won the Cy Young, I would not be surprised in the slightest.
Mike, what the heck is going on with Rafi Devers in Boston? Are you buying any of those trade rumors? And it's just been really weird ever since Bregman's been brought in.
Yeah, I don't buy the trade stuff. That seems like the report was that he was considering asking for a trade, so it's kind of flimsy there. I think the Red Sox didn't handle this great. You really should have kind of checked in with him before you signed Bregman. And that's not to say if Devers says, no, I'm not moving to third base, you don't sign Bregman. This is just kind of something they should have handled beforehand before they put a microphone in front of him and let him kind of air everything. And this morning they said that Devers is not going to play third base this spring. He's been nursing a shoulder injury really since last season. It kind of, I don't want to say it hasn't improved, but it just hasn't gone away completely. So this kind of resolved itself. He's not going to play third base. He's going to have to DH. So Bregman's going to play third. If they're going to move him to second base, he hasn't played second at all this spring. So they're not really preparing him for that possibility. This kind of resolved itself. What happens in a few weeks when Devers, if his shoulder's finally healthy and he can actually throw and play third base, what happens then? I don't know. I think that's something you kind of just worry about down the road. But, the Red Sox didn't handle this the best, and it blew up the way it did because they didn't handle it great. They just didn't really – they should have handled this before they signed Bregman. They should have all been on the same page.
Hey, Mike, can Ohtani get better? It kind of reminds me of like how we talk about Lamar Jackson. It's like, oh, he can't be better than he was last year. Then he breaks even more records, that seems like what Ohtani's doing.
Yeah, Ohtani is like, you keep saying, like, he can't possibly do this again. He can't do it for another year. And then he does it. And then, the year he's not pitching, he goes 50-50. He's the first player ever. You can't really put a limit on the guy. They're bringing him along slowly with his elbow, with the pitching. He's probably not going to pitch into games until May or June, maybe. It's going to be a few weeks. And I don't think he's going to steal as many bases this year, just kind of out of self-preservation, because once you start adding the pitching workload on top of everything, and also he hurt his shoulder stealing a base in the World Series last year, needed surgery in the offseason. That seems like a place where they're going to just kind of cut back on his workload a bit and just keep him in the best place physically. So I would definitely be surprised if he steals 50 bases again. He's obviously a great hitter. There's no reason to think that'll change. And pitching, I think, he was a great pitcher before he got hurt. And now when he comes back, he's with a smarter organization with the Dodgers. We haven't really seen him on the mound with the Dodgers and what tweaks they make, what do they do to him? Because their reputation is making their pitchers better. So, yeah, he could be even better than, kind of what we saw with Pico Tani, 2 years ago as a two-way player.
We're speaking to Mike Exiza, who covers MLB for CBS Sports. It's Vinny and Haney on The Fan. And Mike, the AL Central heading into last season, everyone thought, oh my gosh, what a crappy division. And then everyone came out of nowhere. The Royals, one of the bigger surprises. The Tigers sold at the deadline, still made the playoffs. And the Guardians went on a run. And of course, you had the White Sox in there, and the Twins had a collapse. But how do you handicap the Central?
Yeah, I think you start with the White Sox in last place, and then you could put the other four teams in any order, and I think you could defend that pretty strongly. I think the Twins might have the best, or at least the highest upside roster there. I thought they really underperformed last year, and that wasn't like an accurate reflection of how much talent they have. Ultimately, for them, it's going to depend how healthy are Correa, Buxton, and Lewis. And Royce Lewis is already hurt this spring, but I think they only played 26 games together last year, and if that number is not like 80 or 100 this year, they're going to have a tough time winning. And I don't hit in love with the Guardians of this offseason. They kind of sacrificed some offense at first base with Josh Naylor, bringing Carlos Santana, who's a good defender at his age, but not the best hitter. I don't know. I just feel like the Guardians had a chance to maybe do a little more there, and they just kind of held firm. And the Royals have Bobby Witt Jr. might be the best player in baseball right now, the best all-around player. And when you have that guy in that rotation with Cole Reagans and Seth Lugo, in that division, that just might be enough to push them ahead of the other teams. And I don't know. That division could really go anyway. I don't think there's a clear-cut favor right now. I lean towards the Twins, but, any of those four teams could win the division, I think.
Hey, Mike, has the Mets paid their way to the top of the East?
I don't think so. I think right now I would lean towards the Phillies. I think they have the best rotation in the division by far. I think they're it's the best rotation, 1-5. Andrew Painter's maybe the best pitching prospect in baseball. He's going to come up later this year, so they got him coming too. And their lineup is just the healthiest right now. The Braves are not going to have Acuna to start the season. The Mets are going to have a couple other guys. Not going to have Francisco Alvarez, not going to have Jeff McNeil. So the Phillies are the best rotation, the healthiest lineup. So I think they're just in the best shape going into the season. I don't know if the Mets, they kind of had this, they made, of course, signed Soto, and then they just took some kind of like smaller bites throughout the offseason. They didn't really add to their rotation in a significant way. I felt like they maybe could have pushed in a little bit more and really kind of strengthened that roster. Still a very good team. I just don't think it's enough to declare them the favorites in that division.
He's Mike Exiza, covers MLB for CBS Sports. Baseball is back, and we're fired up for it. Mike, thanks for coming on today.
Thanks, Mike.
Sure. Sure thing.
You got it. Coming up at the top of the hour, we've broken down the Ravens 1 week into the start of the new league year. For NFL Lunch, we're going to look at the other three AFC North teams. What do they look like? But coming up next, we're going to keep the baseball talk rolling. Get back into the Coby Mayo situation. If you haven't heard his quotes, we will tell you. When could we see him next? What position could he play at the next level? We'll get into it next on The Fan. And Coby Mayo was one of seven guys that were sent to minor league camp. Samuel Basayo was another one, and no one expected Basayo to make this club out of camp, but maybe later on the summer for sure. Coby Mayo, he made his MLB debut last year and was very overmatched. He was 4-41, and this spring training got off to a rough start. 1-23, finished 8-42, three doubles, two walks, 13 strikeouts. And Mayo had this quote yesterday saying, It's definitely difficult. It obviously sucks because you feel like you've proven everything you've needed to. Sometimes it doesn't feel like it's quite enough. Obviously, you go back there, and if you have success, it's, oh, he's supposed to have success because he's already proven it. And if he doesn't have success, it's, oh, well, obviously he's fallen off. It's kind of a lose-lose going to Norfolk. And I don't necessarily disagree with anything that he's saying. You probably don't say it out loud, but he's a 23-year-old kid where the frustration is obviously there.
All right, when he's looking at it, what does he think that he did that satisfied everything that he thought he needed to do? Defensively, I'm guessing? So, yeah. You know, he felt like he played good defensively?
I think the thing that's tough, and Steve hit it on the head last hour, Kobe Mayo could have had a phenomenal spring training. The odds of him making the club were always going to be slim. And Nolan, you brought up earlier, maybe Gunner's injury kept the door at least a little bit open. But now it seems like maybe he's going to be ready close to opening day or not that long after. Mateo healthy again. There's just not room at the end for him.
I think he's hung up on the minor league stuff. Yeah, that seemed to be the focus that, you know, what else do I have to prove down there? But what he doesn't say is, well, I haven't proved it up here.
Yeah.
To be fair to him, the other side of the coin, he hasn't had the most reps.
No.
Spring this year, you know, do what you want with it. But again, he didn't get a ton of playing time, didn't make the most of it. So you could argue that because the gap between AAA and the majors is so large, that, yeah, he's going to dominate AAA. He should dominate AAA. He even said that in the quote, and nobody would be impressed. But how do you get better in the majors without playing here? It's really, as he says, a lose-lose situation.
Yeah, and he's crushed AAA. He's played 151 games at the AAA level. He's got a 919 OPS, which is fantastic. The bat absolutely is ready. And Mike Elias, this is a quote earlier in the offseason at the winter meetings talking about where Mayo could fit in 2025.
Kobe can play third, he can play first, he can DH. I think there's a lot of opportunity for him. He's still a young guy. He's yet to really establish himself in the majors, so he's not somebody that we want to put too much of a burden on right out the chute. There's so many ways for him to fit into this lineup.
If I'm him, you know, if I'm Kobe Mayo, you know, and who, you know, I would want to sit down with Hyder and Elias and just, all right, I'm heading back down. What do I got to do to get back here? What do I need to work on to get back here?
I think some of it too, Vinny, is if you're the organization, you got to take the long view. Steve also said this. He's not going to play third base here. Not with Westberg, and that's, I know Westberg can toggle between third and second. Westberg's going to be your primary third baseman, where it's probably going to be first base for him, but right now he's blocked with Mountcastle, with O'Hearn, and who knows, down the road, Bisaio is going to get some run at first.
And again, you got to see him there,
yeah,
to feel comfortable making that switch.
He played 23 games at first base last year at the AAA level.
What did he play mostly? Third base?
Third base, yeah, third base.
I mean, are they wasting his time playing third base?
That's my point, where if I'm them, I would just lean into it, and I thought they were going to lean into it even more during spring.
Yeah, it is a little bit surprising, you know, because you're trying to help your players out and help yourself out in turn, because, you know, we kind of saw it with Heston Kerstad, who's a little bit older, you know, the years start stacking up. He's a little bit different with some of the injury stuff he faced, but still, I mean, you blink and this guy's 25 years old already and barely played in the majors, and all of a sudden, all those years of number one prospect or top five prospect, and, you know, he's got all this value, and you're sitting there saying, well, where is it?
I did find it interesting where Steve pointed out with Jordan Westberg, he played 161 games at AAA, which he did. Mayo's at 151. Everyone else, Kerstad, Kowser, Holiday, Henderson, Rutschman, played less. But one of his buddies, Connor Norby, he quote tweeted Rock with a quote, I'm paraphrasing, saying, hey, don't worry about spring training. Worry about 162 games. And with Norby, I mean, he kind of, I don't want to say wilted away at AAA, but he played 241 games at the AAA level, which is a huge, huge number, and made his debut here, but barely got any run before he got dealt to Miami for Trevor Rogers, along with Kyle Stowers.
Yeah, and that's probably his buddy. And, you know, I mean, you, because you got to have somebody to vent to, you know, and then it's, it, a lot of times it's, you know, the person you're talking to, are they calming you down or are they getting
firing
you more riled up?
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, if it was Norby, you know, did he get more fired up?
So it leads people to say, well, is he the next to be traded? Kobe Mayo, you know, because if, again, we talk about that value, it doesn't have any value to you sitting on the bench. And if you want to wait another year, like you said, that maybe he is the first baseman of the future, but can you afford to wait that extra year and get there? When right now, let's say you get to the in-season deadline, more pitching injuries are likely to happen at some point, or you'll just look for an upgrade naturally. He could be a really tantalizing piece to dangle.
Part of it's a good problem to have, but that's why, going back to even towards the end of last season, if you would have told me that Mountcastle, O'Hearn, Kerstad, and Mayo are all here opening day, I would have been shocked. We had Keith Law on the show a couple weeks ago, and Keith was saying he thought Mountcastle was a dead man walking, and they would give Mayo that runway to have it, but all of them are still here.
Well, that, what does that tell you? That tells you, because it wasn't like Mountcastle was great last year either. It tells you that they don't think that Mayo was ready. If they thought that Mayo was ready, then they would have probably jet-setted it out there.
Yep.
You know, so their moves kind of tell you a lot about what they're thinking about those players.
Coming up next, we're going to get back into the NFL. It is the NFL lunch. We looked back at the week that was for the Ravens since the new league year. What about the Steelers, Bengals, and Browns? How's the first week of their offseason treating them? We'll tell you next on The Fan.